I have huge ratings. Everybody's sitting and analyzing, gee, how far can you go? This is entertainment. People, there's a huge audience for what I do. We're not sitting there to debate whether or not my kind of radio is good. The reason I'm here is to say, hey, there's a lot of people who like what I do. I'm a damn good entertainer.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
And then at the other end of the spectrum, there's me. Come to you from our remote Carter Subaru studio. Welcome to our top stories this hour. A couple of days ago, we told you about a report by the Freedom Foundation. They said that the state of Washington was exaggerating, overstating the COVID death number by 13%. And what they said was the state of Washington, if somebody has ever tested positive for COVID, and then they subsequently die, the state has been recording that as a COVID-19 death. So if somebody tested positive in March and died in a car accident in May, the state of Washington is counting that as a coronavirus death. So the Freedom Foundation came on, they explained the methodology. It certainly made sense to me. Now we apparently have confirmation from the state of Washington that the data they've been using, and remember, Jay Inslee's our data daddy. He has told us that he's using data to determine when to reopen the economy. And our fine reporter, Hannah Scott, joins me as we have some breaking news to begin this hour.
The Big Lead, breaking news.
And Hannah, you just sent Nicole this audio. I just had scant seconds to preview it. But it sounds like the state of Washington is now acknowledging that the death count that they've been reporting is not necessarily accurate. You're the one who was in on this presser. Is that the way you read things?
It is what they were saying, but I wasn't to the percentage rate that we heard from the Freedom Foundation is my takeaway from this. It's a much smaller number.
Did they give a percentage rate?
What they give a lot of numbers, and like you, this just ended, so I'm just going through it all now. But they gave a small amount of numbers of cases that were somewhat like the Freedom Foundation had put out there, saying that they were not deaths result of COVID, but they were people who had tested positive for COVID. It was less than five, she said, and they were the result of gunshot wounds. So those were mistakes, and those were being fixed. Essentially, what they were saying was, it's a lot like what happens with the total positive cases. They have multiple data systems where this information is put in, their death certificate system, and then it's very early. It's very preliminary information. So it takes some time, up to weeks, for them to what they call clean that information, and then they go in and they revise the numbers, but you don't get a press release every time they do that. And so there are those situations.
I want to make sure I understand what you just said. So the state is telling us that they have in the database people they've listed as having died from COVID-19 who were actually shot to death?
Yes. Again, less than five, and they've been removed as part of that cleaning process. And they really wanted to stress that the information the Freedom Foundation used was based on this early preliminary data that gets cleaned and that gets revised, and that they are continually working to revise. And in fact, they went on to say that their belief is that the actual death count is being dramatically underreported because there's 3,000 and some odd cases that they believe might be COVID related, but they don't have enough data yet to tell.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not surprised.
It's a lot. Sorry.
That you're saying that. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So Kate Hutchison is with the Department of Health. She's the one that you were just sitting in on this presser with. And here, I just want to go through this because, like I said, I barely had time to scan through them as I was going on the air. And so I'm giving you kind of my live take as I listen to these along with our listeners.
So our goal from the very beginning of the outbreak has been to get our data out as quickly as possible, to provide information in as near real time as possible, even if the data are preliminary. Given the complexity of the outbreak, our data and our data systems, this really has not been an easy task. The decision to provide our data in near real time was initiated very early in the outbreak to ensure that the most current information was made available so immediate decisions could be made to protect the health of Washingtonians.
Okay, and my take on that is, so if they're making immediate decisions based on flawed data, I don't know how the people of the state can trust the source. I mean, you know, we have Jay Inslee telling us he, you know, wants to get King County, Snohomish, Pierce to phase two by June 1st. He says he's going to let the data drive him. But is it going to be the preliminary flawed data that he uses or the weeks from now cleansed data? Because that will delay the opening of these counties for a long, long time.
Well, and I know that the total number of deaths that he considers in the dozen or so metrics that he looks at to make these decisions to move forward are based on what I just heard, based on the clean data, based on the accurate data, not yesterday's death toll, because there's a lag, right? So that's the gist that I'm getting from them. But and as far as that real getting that making decisions based on the data that she's talking about there, she's talking about more very early on. When this was, we were still dealing with exponential growth and it was this big, huge crisis kind of a situation. Now they're aware of the lag and they try to slow things down as far as making any decision specifically based on that death data.
Okay, let me go through these other sound bites because I just want to get them to my listeners too.
Over the course of the outbreak, we have been very aware of a small number of deaths being reported on our dashboard that end up not being due to COVID, and we will be removing them over time from our death counts. This is part of our regular process for reporting preliminary information. We know that the quality of information naturally improves over time, and that will allow us to improve our death counts. Ultimately, we suspect that we are actually more likely to be undercounting deaths than over.
Okay, that's what Anna was just saying. They think it's going to be more rather than an undercount. Did they talk at all, Hannah? I have had dozens of listeners, and it's something that I need to check and confirm, who have told me that hospitals get federal funds based on the number of COVID patients and the number of COVID deaths they report. Have you heard anything about that?
I've not heard anything about that. I do know that there is federal dollars, COVID-related dollars that do go to hospitals to help them. This was a while back in one of the packages, you know, with everything that they need, given all of the work that they had been doing there when it was, again, such a crisis mode. But I don't know that answer specifically, no.
Okay. We'll look into that because a lot of people have suggested to me that there is a financial incentive for the death certificate to not necessarily have accurate info. Okay, a little more from the Department of Health's Kate Hutchison.
So our process for identifying COVID-19 deaths basically speeds up our regular process but cuts out much of the data quality processes. This creates the benefit of, you know, increased timeliness. We can report within a day and transparency because we're reporting the information that we have.
Okay, I guess this is shocking to me. So they're speeding it up, but that reduces the data quality. And the governor says he's using this data as his determinant for reopening the state and bringing 1.1 million newly unemployed and tens of thousands of businesses facing bankruptcy. He's using this data to determine when to reopen the state, but the state is now acknowledging that in the concession to speed, they are putting out false data.
Yes, the lower number, the number that is, you know, less than five, again, is the number she gave me today. And it has been brought up to me. Even someone else listening in on this press conference said, sent me a text while I was listening to it saying, then we should remove the death data portion of that going into, you know, the governor's decision as far as what to, when to make any decision, reopening or not. So it's something I will definitely ask about at further pressers. The people on this call could not answer that. What I did ask was, why not do something like we saw in Colorado, where you've just set up two different columns where you've got your confirmed deaths from COVID that you know for sure, and then another column with the, we think, pretty sure, probable deaths from COVID, so that there's at least some kind of transparency about the fluctuations from numbers. They weren't working on that particular system, but they are working on a better system to report the data a little more accurately, is what they said.
Yeah, and you make a great point because Colorado got busted by local media there for doing the exact same thing. They were overstating the number of deaths. Well, Hannah, I love listening to you at the governor's pressers, and I appreciate all the work you're doing. You've just been doing yeoman's work the last several months, really. But just fantastic, and I appreciate you coming on with me today.
All right, you bet. Thanks, Dory.
Okay, Hannah Scott, who just finished with this Department of Health press conference that clearly validates what I've been telling you for the last couple of days, what the Freedom Foundation told us. Now, you can believe what they are still saying, and, you know, Hannah's a reporter. She doesn't offer her opinion. She says that the state says, no, it's less than 13%. It's more like 5% that we've been overstating. But when I heard that thing at the beginning of the conversation, that they have some people in the COVID-19 death database. I don't mean to be laughing, but this is so stupid. They have some people in the COVID-19 death database who were shot to death. And there wasn't anybody who said, maybe we should take him out of the column B there. I mean, come on. They're cooking the books. So now the only argument is it the 5% that the state claims or the 13% that the Freedom Foundation claims. But that gets back to the question that I was talking about 2 days ago. So what's the incentive to exaggerate the death toll? Well, the higher the death toll, the more fearful the populace. The more fearful the populace, the more easily controlled. I mean, they want a state income tax. We got to destroy the economy to get it. And we're destroying the economy, not because we want a state income tax, but for public health reasons. Because all these people, maybe I'm not looking at this logically. Maybe the bullets were dipped in coronavirus before they were loaded in the guns and before the gunshot wound killed the person, the coronavirus dipped bullet, the virus just spread almost like a virus and killed the person before the gunshot wound. So I guess there is a way to explain why people who were shot to death are on the COVID-19 death tables from the state of Washington. Okay, so what's the motivation? Why exaggerate this? Well, because destroying the economy could get them their holy grail of a state income tax. In fact, right after the news at the bottom there, I'm going to save this for you. They are talking in Olympia about a state income tax because of coronavirus, and I have the audio to prove it. So I'll wait till after the bottom of the hour. Okay, so what are their motivations? Keep us as scared as possible. That could help them get their state income tax. Jenny Durkin can continue the war on cars. They can close 20 miles of Seattle streets for health reasons to vehicular traffic. They say that the politicians in power want a rent moratorium, but they still can collect our obscene car tab fees months after we voted for $30 tabs. Yeah, because we're easily controlled. What are you going to do about it? Going to not pay your tabs? They come arrest you if you don't pay your tabs. They'll take your license away. Anytime you drive on the street, you'll get a $200 ticket. You're not going to pay our obscene, illegally calculated, voter-overturned car tab? Screw you. We're getting it anyway. We're the masters. I mean, that's what this is all about. They're the masters. We're the plebes. And we're under their total control. And to use a phrase from the 70s, they're digging it. I don't know that I've ever sounded dorkier than that. But they are. They enjoy the control. They're proof. They're inflating the death numbers. Okay, I have one more soundbite from this Department of Health woman that I have not had a chance to preview yet.
We have a commitment to putting out the best and most current data that we have. And with any process, that data, particularly as you're, you know, bringing it in a rapid manner, there is a variation in the accuracy of it.
Okay, wait a second. Wait. These are the numbers Jay Inslee has been quoting at his press conference. He just told us a couple days ago we went over 1,000 deaths. He now knows that's a phony number. He knew it then. But 1,000 deaths, oh, that's a milestone. That'll make people even more afraid of coronavirus now that it's killing in the four figures. And by the way, what did Jay Inslee say when he was asked about the Freedom Foundation says you are inflating the death numbers? Something confirmed just in the last hour by the Department of Health. State of Washington is inflating COVID death numbers that they're pushing out to you and me. And when Jay Inslee was asked about this 2 days ago, you know that he knew the truth. But instead...
Well, I haven't seen this assertion. I have no reason to believe there's any validity to it whatsoever. So at the moment, I have confidence in the numbers that we've put forward. They come from a variety of sources. I see no reason at the moment to believe that the fatality numbers are not consistent with reality. Now, there are cases, obviously.
Okay, but they're not consistent with reality. Your Department of Health just confirmed that in the last hour. Jay?
And I do have to say this. I think one of the difficulties in this is that the conspiracy theories that are fanning people's efforts to go out and do what this group did and argue that 887 deaths just not something to be worried about is...
That's not what they argued. That's not what they argued. They never said 870, which is the actual number when you subtract 13%. Jay's not good at math. They never said 800-some dead is nothing to worry about. They said you were exaggerating the death totals that you were presenting to the public. You were lying about the death totals so that you could instill 13% more fear.
It's really disappointing to me. I've heard people say things that are from a different planet, and it's very unfortunate that some folks in public life have fanned the flames of misinformation in that regard. Because,
oh, that's me. I fanned the flames of information, though, Jay. So did the Freedom Foundation. They exposed that you were cooking the books. They exposed that you were putting gunshot deaths down as COVID-19 deaths. And why? Because it's about public control. It is not about public health anymore. We've had 130 deaths of people under the age of 72. That's less than an average flu season. You do not destroy the economy for years to come for an average flu season type virus. But that's what you're doing. And you cook in the books, inflating the numbers, listing a gunshot death as COVID-19 doesn't change the fact that the data doesn't support you anymore. And I don't know if the majority of the people, but I know that I and many of my listeners am sick and tired of the lies that are being pushed out as the economy gets generationally destroyed. That's the big lead this hour, but I'm going to continue this. We're going to check the news for you, and then I'll play the audio. They're talking about a state income tax. And never let a good crisis go to waste. Have that for you coming up as the Dory Monson Show rolls on.
Based on the data that we have now received, this is a data-driven decision. It is a decision that follows the data on the data and our compliance rates. Data
not dates, determine how we act. Depends on how the data comes in, all of our data. We will have a beginning of a look at that. Dial depends on data, on when it can.
He is our data daddy. But just confirmed in the last hour now here on the Dory Monson Show, the data is flawed. As you heard, we played sound bites from Kate Hutchison with the State Department of Health. She told our Hannah Scott that, yes, they had an exaggerated death toll for COVID-19, that they recorded some people who had died of gunshot wounds as having died of COVID-19. An easy mistake. I mean, you'd have to be the most highly trained doctor to figure out that distinction. And the point of contention now is the Freedom Foundation says the state exaggerated the death count by 13%. The woman at the Department of Health, she said, no, we, it was much less than that, and we may have even undercounted, which I just simply don't believe, because, once again, we have some real-life data. And that's in Colorado. They were counting COVID deaths the exact same way that our state is. They were counting people who died with COVID-19 instead of those who died due to COVID-19. It's the same thing. You had COVID-19, you get in a car accident and die. They were, Colorado was counting that as a COVID-19 death. That's what Washington is doing now. When Colorado revised their numbers, they went from a stated 1,150 COVID deaths, but after they only counted people who actually died from COVID-19, it dropped 800 to 878. Why, that's about a 13% drop. That's about what the Freedom Foundation said Washington was exaggerating its total by. And so I don't believe the state when they now, after Jay Inslee lied about this 2 days ago, he lied. He said it was a conspiracy theory. He said it was from Pluto. The people who were talking about them exaggerating the numbers. And now we find out that Data Daddy lied to us about data. And again, just listen to the woman from the Department of Health. She doesn't sound real confident in the new spin they're pushing out to
us. So our goal from the very beginning of the outbreak has been to get our data out as quickly as possible, to provide information in as near real time as possible, even if the data are preliminary. Given the complexity of the outbreak, our data and our data systems, this really has not been an easy task.
So they worried more about speed rather than accuracy, and yet Jay Inslee is citing the flawed data, and he's telling us that's what he's using to determine when your business that's on the verge of bankruptcy can reopen in a month or two or never. He's telling you who are unemployed and you can't get through to the state unemployment office. And by the way, What a criminal fraud our state unemployment office is proving to be, because they've been victimized by so much criminal fraud. Thousands and thousands of people who have had their ID boosted, and criminals are making fraudulent unemployment claims. Again, buck stops at the top. Jay Inslee, you can't run unemployment claims. You got 1.1 million newly unemployed who are desperate, trying to feed their family this weekend, and you can't figure out how to run an unemployment office? Why don't you have all hands on deck? Why don't you have all these state workers who are underutilized, maybe collecting a check without working? Why don't you have everybody on this? And meanwhile, you've got thousands and maybe tens of thousands of innocent citizens who are having their identity stolen by these criminals who are using our unemployment office as their tool for that. And you know what all those people have to do? You got to get hold of your bank. You got to get hold of your credit reporting service. You got to get hold of the IRS. You're going to have to spend hours and hours and hours. But Jay Inslee told us this was a victimless crime. Remember that? When he let 1,000 felons out of prison a couple weeks ago? And I said, oh, wait a second, a lot of these are felony identity thieves. And James, oh, it's a victimless crime. It's a white-collar crime. Yeah, tell that to the thousands and thousands of people who are going to spend hours online, on the phone, talking to their credit banks, IRS, everybody, their credit card companies, trying to salvage what criminals are trying to steal from them because your unemployment office had so many problems. But I forgot. I'm in the local media. I'm supposed to just, good job, Jay. Hey, overcount the deaths. I'm sure if they hadn't gotten shot, the COVID-19 would have gotten them eventually. Go ahead. Hey, unemployment, who cares? Who cares about the unemployed, right? All your buddies in the state, government workers, they're not unemployed. You haven't made any cuts there, so who cares, right? I don't care. Do you care? No. No, Jay's doing a great job running unemployment, giving us factual data on death tolls so he can, with great clarity and precision, tell us exactly when he's going to get the economy back rolling. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm a Western Washington media guy. Jay Inslee's great. He's doing a bang-up job, and we should ignore any little things. So what if lives are messed up? You'll live again, and you only live once. But, you know, so what if your life is messed up? Go get a government job. Jay will take care of you then, okay? All right, a quick timeout, then we're going to count down our favorite sound bites of the entire day. Awesome Audio is coming up next. Stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. And it is that time of the day when we like to count down our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio Clips of the Day.
Wow, I've done an entire show without talking about anything outside of the Northwest, out of Washington State. But yeah, we got to pay some attention, I guess, to the presidential campaign trail. Joe Biden, I tell you what, I saw somebody who posted this clip and said, you know, you could get rich if you develop an app that can translate Joe's increasing nonsensical press comments like this one.
Number three.
We're going to create a new bio-based multi-manufacturing job environment to deal farmers in on the benefits of a changing economy.
Oh, yeah, he'll rescue us from a declining economy. He also said that he's starting to talk about taking away guns more and more. Joe has he's decided, or his handlers, because I don't think Joe is making many decisions these days. I really don't. It's sad to watch. It really is. But his handlers have decided we're going to take Joe far to the left, because Joe is kind of the moderate Democrat. But now he's talking about taking away people's guns. And the Second Amendment, it's not that big a deal.
Anybody think you should be able to go out and have a machine gun these days? And the answer is no. We have a rational policy. No amendment to the Constitution is absolute.
And actually, we already have laws against that. But no amendment to the Constitution is absolute. Now, remember, he said he's going to make Beto O'Rourke his gun czar. And Beto O'Rourke has said that not machine guns, but hunting rifles, AR-15, he will send armed, uniformed police to take away your guns. Beto O'Rourke has said that. And Joe Biden said he's making Beto O'Rourke his gun czar. And now today, Joe says no amendment, even the second, is absolute. So the far, far radical left in the Democratic Party is starting to seize control of Joe's brain because he's not all there. And so he's very easily manipulated. Now, is that a winning strategy? I guess we will have to wait and see. All right. As for the person Biden's going to be running against, Donald Trump. He's the president. I don't know if you were aware of that. But he shocked everybody a few days ago when he said that he's taking hydroxychloroquine. He said it's under a doctor's supervision. Today, he announced that he's almost done with his two-week dose, and he's going to stop taking it after tomorrow.
Number two.
I had a two-week regimen of hydroxychloroquine, and I've taken it, I think, just about 2 weeks. I think it's another day. So, and I'm still here. I'm still here. And I tested very positively in another sense. So this morning, yeah, I tested positively toward negative, right? So, no, I tested perfectly this morning. Meaning I tested negative.
Okay, because Joe's not the only one. He tested positively in the negative sense. Oh, man. He also was asked about the private SpaceX rocket launch that's coming.
I'm thinking about going. That'll be next week to the rocket launch. I hope you're all going to join me. I'd like to put you on the rocket and get rid of you for a while. Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I like that. Hilarious. At number one, yesterday, the attorney general in our state gave a cease and desist order to Bob Martin, the barber in Snohomish who's been cutting hair in defiance of Jay Inslee's order. I had Barber Bob, he came on with me a couple of hours ago. I asked him if he's going to shut down now that the AG has ordered him to do so.
Number one.
He has no authority at all. And they're going to have more than egg on their face when we get done with them. I grew up on the farm. I know what bull smells like. And he's not going to pull this crap on me. If you don't stand up for what you believe in, you'll fall for anything. And I'm not falling for anything, especially for that bastard.
So he's staying open despite Jay Inslee and Bob Ferguson's orders to close his shop up in Snohomish. And I did enjoy this. And by the way, a lot of people got on me. I called him an ex-Marine. And I know the mistake, and I apologize for the mistake. Nobody's an ex-Marine. You might be a former Marine, but you're not an ex-Marine. But I like this. Bob, 79 years old, served in the Marines, been cutting hair forever. And I just like the kind of Rat Pack Vegas-y way that he said goodbye at the end of our conversation today. You betcha.
All right, I'll talk to you later, baby.
I'll talk to you later, baby. Yeah, and that's what I'll do with you, baby. I'll talk to you later. Later being noon tomorrow. Tom and Curly are coming up next. God bless you in these crazy times. And we'll see you back here tomorrow. High noon. Take care.
I know there have been some rumors going around that the bank is no longer funding us. I am here to put those rumors to rest. They are true. In terms of money, we have no money. Now would probably be a good time to look for other employment options.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.